Now you get to go sit with your friends. This morning, how many people brought their Bibles? Go ahead and lift them up. I want to see the thumpers I got with me. Woo! Hey, we're getting more and more. Praise God. Man, I like that. That's exciting. That's real exciting. Well, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. You know, this is one of... It's a pretty good text, if you will. And I always like to quote 1 Corinthians 3. 3. We'll get there, but we're going to read 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9. And I've entitled this, Who Gives the Increase? Who Gives the Increase? So here we go. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 9. And I read from the New King James Version. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Word. Let us go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Lord Jesus, thank you again. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for the written Word, that we can read it and learn from it and gain understanding and wisdom. And so thank you for this time that you have set apart for our friends, for us here at Linden United Methodist Church to explore the Word and hear the Word proclaimed and learn from it. Now open up our eyes to hear from you, or to see you, first of all, to open up our ears to hear from you, and then open up our hearts, Lord God, so we may experience you in a very powerful way, even this morning, and help us to be drawn closer to Thee. We are grateful and thankful for your presence, and we give you all the glory, and we pray this in Jesus' holy name. And they all said, amen. Amen. I am grateful for Paul. I tend to like Paul. Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament, if you didn't know that. And if you think there's only 27 in the New Testament, he wrote 13. That's pretty powerful. But I want to say, the reason I think Paul did that was because he was known as the evangelist. Do you know that? Because he went out and apostle. They called him apostle because he planted a lot of churches. He went on missionary journeys. You all probably studied that in Sunday school sometime. The three different missionary journeys of Paul. What happened when he went on those missionary journeys is he shared the knowledge that he had been revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But then what happened was he planted churches. And so that's why he's written all these different letters. And that's a very simplistic explanation, but that gives us a little understanding of Paul. Now, Corinth was a city that was like a melting pot, if you will, much like probably New York, a port city, melting pot, all different types of beliefs and faiths and traditions and worship. And so when you think about Paul writing to Corinth, he was writing to a church that was sort of mixed up, if you will. Mixed up in a lot of different ways. And so when he heard about what was going on there, he wrote this letter. And he recognized there was some division or tensions or stressors there. And that's why he's written this. And I would like to reiterate verse 3 again, it says, "For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Now, I don't know about you, but the church is quite an organization. Could you say amen to that? Let's just say amen to that. Amen. Yeah, let's agree. The church is quite an organization. It's the only place, and you've heard me say this before, but it's the only place that the preacher can scold you on Sunday. Yeah. I mean, hit you with the Word of God, scold you real hard. Some of you say it like this, step on your toes. You know, you can say it like that. Okay, so only place where the preacher steps on your toes and really hammers you real good, and then asks you to open up your wallet and give. Yeah. I mean, now give to me because I'm hammering you with the Word and scolding you, if you will, and now I want you to give to this organization. Okay? Isn't that weird? It's crazy. Now, not only that, but we ask you to come and serve. For nothing. Yeah? We're not paying you. Nothing. Yeah? Come and serve. Yeah? Come and do the things God needs you to do and build this little kingdom right here on earth called Linden United Methodist Church. And we're not paying you a penny. Yeah? Give up your talents. Give up your abilities. Yeah? And give up your money. All that. And I get to still scold you. Now, if that was a business proposition, I would think it would fail. Amen? I mean, who's going to come to work for nothing? You know anybody working for nothing now? Well, you might think you're working for nothing. You know, I understand that. All of us need a raise. You know, we all need more money, don't we? Amen. Yeah, we do. We all need a little more. You'll just spend it, but that's okay. You think you need it, you know, and so I guarantee you're getting what you deserve, probably. God knows what you have need of, and He said He'd take care of that. So we can agree that you're probably getting just what you need. The thing is that Paul's writing to Corinth, and he's recognizing these people are thinking like the world thinks, okay? Not like he thinks, because with him, I think you know this scripture very well, Philippians 4:13. It says, "I can do all things." Isn't that amazing? Now, what can't you do? Not a thing. So when I call you, yeah, now you just said it. So when I call you and ask you to do something for the church, guess what your response is going to be? Yeah, Brother Joe, I'd be glad to. I can do that. Right? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See? I'm setting you up big time, I mean to tell you. So the thing is that when we look at this, Paul's writing to Corinth, they're sort of mixed up. They got the mindset of the world. And the thing about the church today is we're doing that same thing. We're bringing the mindset of the world into the church and saying, you know, I just don't know if we can do that. Has anybody ever said that in here? I hope not. But I don't know if we can do that. And then the next thing comes out of my mouth would be, I think we can. I think we can. I think God, if He's in it, listen, if God's in it, guess what happens? He provides. Amen? Has He provided for anybody in here in your life? I mean, just say amen. Amen. I mean, He's a provider. He's the one that wants to bless you for being a blessing. And matter of fact, He wants to bless you to be a blessing. See, isn't that wonderful? He wants to bless you so you'll go out and bless other people. I can tell you this, a men's group, we're supporting a little Hope International baby from Vietnam. I was up there where was I this at wintertime? Oh, that's right. I was at Gatlinburg with the youth. And they promoted these children. And I felt led for our men's group to say, you know what, we could sow $5 a month, each of us. I mean, I think my men had $5 in their pocket. And let's sponsor a child. That child needs, and we have, so why don't we bless? You know, I've shared that with my men, and I have about 4 months paid up, maybe 5 already, because of their generosity. I don't know if we can, we might end up adopting another one. I don't know. But we're going to start just keeping track that we bless this girl, but we might start blessing other people locally. Who knows? But when you start getting that generosity going and start flowing, and God starts getting in it, guess what happens? God gets the glory. Amen? God gets the glory. Not the men that are providing the funds, or not the church that's providing the funds, or not the Sunday school that's providing the money. It is God who gets the glory. That's the key, I think, to this right here. Paul's saying, let me say this. Corinth, you've got to get things straight. You are trying to bring the world into the church, and the church doesn't fit the mold. I mean, it doesn't work that way. The church is built on faith. It's built in, I believe. Let's say that together. I believe. You know what you believe? You believe in Jesus Christ. You believe in the resurrection. The power of the resurrection. Not just the resurrection. We're grateful for the resurrection. But the power of the resurrection. That same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And when you start thinking about that, woo, we ought to be running down the aisle. We ought to be jumping up and down, saying, glory, God loves me that much to give me the power to be an overcomer. The power that raised Jesus from the dead to say, I can. I can. It's not that you're doing it. It's Him, capital H, Him doing it through you. And therefore, when you're out in the world and you're wondering, well, am I being a good example? Paul talks about that in other texts, Philippians. But he wants to be an example. He wants you to be an example. So when you start believing and you start believing in the faith and you have faith and you say, I can, and other people hear you, and then when that happens, you say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's try that. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. You start saying, thank you, Jesus. And when you start saying, thank you, Jesus, what happens? He gets the glory. You know, I've always wondered when, and I got to do it this week, I got raised by a number one finger. I did. There's a picture on Facebook if you want to see it. It was in the newspaper, I think, too. Anyway, it's in the Watchman, I know. And I got my number one finger up. But you know what I was doing? I was saying, thank you, Jesus. I was saying, thank you, Jesus. Because those girls deserved what they won. 27-0. That's a miracle. I promise you. It's very difficult to do. Those girls did it through the help of God. And every one of them, I kept telling them, listen, keep giving Jesus the glory. Thank Him for what you have been given. And you know what? They come up afterwards and said, thank you for being there. Thank you for reminding us who gets the glory. It's not that we're number one. It's thank you, Jesus. You see these people that play football and they get a touchdown and some of them do it. Really, I won't go there, you know, but but most of them go like this and they're pointing up toward heaven and that's what it's about. It's about giving God the glory, not you. You don't deserve the glory. You're a fallen vessel. Listen, we've been saved by grace. We've been saved by grace. We're a fallen vessel. We have this human nature, and that's what Paul was trying to address here. Say, you people in Corinth, realize your carnal mind, you think about the world. You think about natural things. And I want you to think about spiritual things. I want you to think that I can do things with the help of the Holy Ghost. I can do things through Christ who strengthens me, who's called me according to His purpose. I can do it. And so then you start believing and you say, I have faith. And when you have faith of a grain of a... Does anybody know that? A mustard seed. Do you realize that that's the smallest seed there is? If you have just that much, if you have that much faith, what can you do? He says you can move a mountain. Man, I don't know about you, but I've seen some pretty big mountains in my day. I've been out in Colorado, I've been out in Montana, I've been Glacier National Park. I've been some big places, mountains. Can you move a mountain? Do you have that kind of faith? I don't know about you, but when God moves in your life and there's a miracle, a notable miracle in your life, and I want to just refer to Acts, the third chapter, this little guy that was a beggar of alms for over 40 years. And he's every day, somebody bring him out there, and as they'd enter into the gate called Beautiful to go and pray, he'd say, alms, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. You know, a guy named Peter and John went over there and silver and gold have I none. But what I have, what's that? That same resurrection power, that same Holy Ghost, that same name, the name of Jesus. What I have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. What did he say? Rise up and walk. A beggar of alms. I like to say it like this, snap, crackle, and pop, you know, Rice Krispie. Yeah, snap, crackle, and pop. His legs got strength and he stood up. And it says in the next text, it says he went running. Do you know what it says? He went running and leaping and praising God. I think he was going like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Why? Because somebody, his friend, came by going to the place to pray and said, silver and gold have none. It wasn't about how big your wallet is or how much property you own or what you drive or what you have. It was Jesus. And it was the power that raised Jesus from the dead that he gave to him. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, specifically, he said, rise up and walk. And he went running and leaping and praising God. If you've had a notable miracle in your life, listen, you know it. It shows because the Sanhedrin brought Peter and John before them and was scolding them for using the name, that name Jesus. And what ended up happening was, they said, this man, that beggar of alms, they called him something. You remember what they called him? A notable miracle. There's a notable miracle here. And you all appear to be uneducated and untrained men. That's what he said. That's what Sanhedrin said to Peter and John. You guys don't have anything to offer. Oh, yes, we do. We got this Jesus of Nazareth. And look what's happened, a notable miracle that they shared. And he went running and leaping and praising God. I can only tell you this, folks. Paul understood what's going on. The church, we try to get it to be worldly, and it's not. It's a spiritual entity. It's a spiritual organization. It's a living organization that is breathes the Spirit of the living God and shares the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. It's a place to come and hear the Word of God so that the people can hear it. So what will happen when you're sitting in the presence of the Holy One? A lot of things get broken down. Our hearts get broken. Because we know we're not living up to what He's asked us to do. We tend to hear the truth of the Word of God and we realize in John 8:32, if you know the truth shall set you free. It's this truth that sets us free. That's why it's so important for us to study it and know it and hear it so that we can go and share it and live it. So people know that this organization, this church organization, is nothing like the world. It's not a business. Though it has a business flavor to it. Because it deals with money and you have to pay bills and there is that dimension, if you will. But the whole thing is spiritually focused about people. I can only ask you this question. The title of the sermon is, Who Gives the Increase?
Who would you say gives the increase? God. God gives the increase. So what is your role in it? I want to say it's to bring a friend. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. It's to put God first. Get to put our finger up every day. Say, thank you, Jesus. You're my provider. You're my number one. You're the love of my heart and my soul. Listen, when you start saying that and you start saying, thank you, Jesus, when you roll down the aisle and there's one left on the shelf and you go, I need that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because you didn't have to go to another place to get it, did you? God provided. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing for me every day. I get to wake up and I get to roll out of bed or sit up or sit out of bed. However you get out of bed. Some people roll out. Some people stand up. You know, whatever you do. Some people are slow motivators in the morning. Some people jump right up. And man, it's, I can only imagine Joy Lee is just ding and bing. Any of you ever seen her walk? Man, you can't keep up with her. I can only tell you that. You better be running. You be running, she's walking. Is that right? She going, man. Bam! I thank you for letting me use you, Julie. And she didn't know that. I set her up again. I set you all up. What does God really want from each of us? Think about it. He wants us to share the good news of Jesus. He wants us to bring friends to church. He wants us to share the blessings of God with our friends and our neighbors. He wants us to share the good news of Jesus wherever we go. And then, what's most importantly, realize that you're not important. Isn't that crazy? Paul said it. Didn't he just say it in there? He said, you're really not the one that's important. The sowed seer or the one who cultivates it a little bit really is not important. Who's the important one? God in the equation. See, God's the one that gives the increase. God gets the glory. God gets the attention. We just point toward Him and give Him the thanks for what He deserves. He's the one that's given you everything you have. If you haven't figured that out yet, you might need to get to your knees. Because I tell you what, He's given you your brain, your health. Somebody that hasn't had health or is going through a difficult time, you just ask them, what's the most important thing you have in your life? Well, some people would say my wife or my spouse. Some people might say my church. But I want to say the most valuable thing you have is time, number one. But the most important thing you have as an individual is your health. Because without health, you can't do much. Is that an amen?
Amen.
Without your health, you can't get up and motivate. You know, you get achy bones or joints and, you know, the weather changes and your knee don't work like it ought to or something like that. You can't walk very fast anymore, like Joy Lee. Really? You have debilitating headaches? You tell me about it. Things happen, folks. We all have different issues. We all have situations in our life. That's why the family of God, it's so wonderful to be a part of the family of God, that we can come together and love our neighbor as ourselves. We can reach out and touch them, and we can share the love of Jesus. We can share the good news of Jesus. We can invite our neighbor and our friend to come to a place where we get touched and moved, and we get fed the spiritual food so that our faith gets strengthened, so that when we go outside of this place, we exhibit that in our world. And we can raise our finger and say, thank you, Jesus. You're number one in my life. You're the love of my heart and my soul. And I want to show the world. And I pray that's your thought and prayer today. We have a closing song this morning. It is on page 398. If you will, let's stand together. As Brother Kim leads us, Miss Madeline plays. This altar
altar's open for anybody that would like to come and pray. Continue to work within your life. May you show mercy to your friends and your neighbor. And may you continue to raise that number one finger toward heaven and give Him all the glory for all that He's done for you. Now go with peace in your hearts and love to share with the world that's dying and needs this hope. In Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, Amen. Will you greet one another and tell them you're glad that